One thing that you talk about a lot is the music flat rate.
Yeah.
When do you think this collective licensing will happen in the EU?
Well, I think it's going to be done, of course, country by country first, because there are many local variants. You know, the main thing about the flat rate is the question of who will actually pay the money, because in the end, I think there are some countries that may not be opposed to like a public tax like Switzerland. But many countries would be. So the biggest question is basically, if everybody pays, then how is the payment made? So it could be made by individuals. It could be made by the network, the ISP themselves. It could be paid by advertisers or brands. It can be made. It can be paid in like a dozen different ways. The main thing about the flat rate is not that you get the money, but is that the entire system becomes very valuable to people. So in other words, it will probably happen in Europe, in different countries, different speed, but I think we already have a flat rate in Denmark. With there's an ISP called TDC, and TDC already has a flat rate they're offering to their users. If you subscribe to their internet connection, the music is free. I think the Isle of Man, of course, has a trial coming up. This is a small island of England. I think we may well have it in Spain sometime, because people are really upset there about the downloading. Well, basically, you know, the harder the record labels and the IFPI and the RA, the harder they push for laws to punish people, the more the government is forced to come up with an alternative. I'm sure you're familiar with the current discussions about the three strikes. Yeah, okay, that's of course not going to happen in Europe, because that basically means censorship. In other words, that you would have to be supervised what you do on the internet. And so the European Commission has already rejected it. It's been thrown out in New Zealand. It's been thrown out in England. The only country that's left is France, I think, debating it. Basically, because of this, I think the government has no choice but to either come up with a license themselves or force the rights organizations to a license, like just like the radio was licensed. And so the flat rate is going to happen, I think, in some countries in the next 12 to 18 months.
You mentioned this Danish ISP. If people with that ISP can download their music for free, basically, is that from a catalog that that ISP is offering, or are they distributing?
No, the catalog has been acquired. You know, the ISP paid something like, I think 12 or 15 million euros. They paid a flat rate license for all of the content. And as soon as you sign up for the ISP, the content is available. So I think it's 1.5 million songs or so. You can download all of it or none, but it's copy protected. You know, that's the disadvantage there. But however, it's still very popular, because you can play it on your home systems, and it's basically, you don't pay extra. The ISP pays the money, because it reduces the people leaving the ISP. And you have the same system, by the way, in Korea for the last 5 years, called Melon. And Melon already has a completely locked system. You pay $5 a month, and it's all the music you want, and mobile devices too.
I've heard of similar systems also, I think in the Netherlands, actually a few years ago, where there were ISPs offering that if you were to sign up with them, you would get access to a huge music catalog.
Yeah, but of course, you know, this will only be valuable if the music is unprotected, if it's from everyone, not just from a few labels, and if it's completely movable. In other words, the problem is that the record labels, they want the money and they want the control, right? And you really can't have both. I mean, this is exactly the same with radio. You know, with radio, you can't say that you would like to be played on radio, but if somebody that you don't like wants to play it, then you don't want it, you know? It doesn't work that way. If you give a license, then you give it to everyone. So basically, the license has to be a public license, so it's available to anyone who wants it. And the problem that we're having right now is that the license is negotiated. You know, for example, Nokia or Sony Ericsson have to negotiate the license for their music programs. The Nokia comes with music, you may have heard about. It's essentially a flat rate, right? But every time somebody wants to do this, they have to go to the labels and the publishers and make a deal. And as you've seen with Spiral Frog that just died, you know, it doesn't work, because then the labels can do whatever they want. I mean, you don't have any, basically you have no authority to make a deal. You always have to ask for a good deal. And so basically what needs to happen for the flat rate is the government has to say, either you guys agree on what it is, or we are going to make an agreement. And that is, I think, the near future. We're going to have those debates, and hopefully I'm going to be involved with this, because I think if people don't agree that the flat rate is needed, then they have to, the government has to decree it, basically.
Do you think it will happen in that way, or do you think that the big labels will at some point decide, okay, we really have to adapt our business models?
I think if the the leadership of the lobby groups like the RAA and the IFPI, you know, if they get thrown out, which will happen, I think, the next 12 months, because everybody's sick and tired of their work. Basically, nobody thinks that they can do anything anymore. When they get thrown out, then new people come in. They'll take over. I think it will happen fairly quickly.
And what could smaller record labels do to speed up this process of collective licensing and music like water, as you put it?
Well, I think the labels are already doing this. I mean, basically, as you know, in terms of business, you know, the small labels have to publish as much as they can online, for example, as widgets on YouTube and blogs and RSS feeds, you know, to promote their content across the network. And when they do that, then they get discovered. You know, music gets discovered, and they always make money when it gets discovered. So basically use all the available tools on the web, but you know, on political level, they should all ask their rights organizations to start doing this. You know, for example, the industry bodies and the SWISA and SACEM and all these companies that should ultimately start working on this very, very soon.
Do you think collective licensing or public licensing could make a big impact on music piracy? Could it end music piracy, perhaps?
Well, yes, it already has. You know, downloading stuff from the internet is far more popular than buying CDs in the pirate market. I mean, basically, most kids between, you know, 12 and 30, you know, they don't like physical things to carry around as much as we do. I do. So it's all digital. So piracy has already been greatly diminished, you know, as an economic incentive. For example, in Thailand, you know, now if you buy a CD, then it's not a CD, it's 150 MP3s, right, that you can transfer, and it's $1. So, you know, once the flat rate comes into effect, there will be no reason whatsoever to engage in that sort of business, because very few people will be interested. And, you know, piracy is always a question of, you know, if you have something more convenient, people will do it, because there's really so little reason not to do it when everybody is like cable TV. You know, you could steal the cable, but if it's part of your rent, then, you know, then you wouldn't do it. You know, why would you bother if it's already built in?
About the record labels again, how do you think that it took so long for the record industry to start to realize that they should really start to change?
Well, I think, of course, the biggest point is that they still believe that they can make more money when they have more control. Now, the entire world is now changing from this control obsession, you know, anywhere from the military to travel, to banking, to television. You know, you give the control to the user. And they haven't understood this for a long time. You know, basically, they still operate in their paradigm of saying, if we can control what people do, then we can make more money. Right, that's what it used to be. And now it's when you give engagement, when you get people's attention and you engage them, that's when you make more money. So I mean, this is a big change. You know, control, getting control is actually an impediment to getting more money, and they haven't understood this until just now, which is something that continues to amaze me, is that they want both our money and they wanted to tell us what to do. So it doesn't make any sense.
Why specifically this industry? Why is it taking so long for the music industry, which should be a progressive industry in my eyes, at least?
Well, it really isn't. I mean, when you think about the history of the music business, it's very, very top-centric. Mm-hmm. And very much, you know, it used to be four guys who run the whole music business, you know, the record labels. And they're basically, most of them are not very smart people. They're just there because they have some sort of idea or understanding how it works. And that's why they were there, right? But basically, the music industry is not run by people who are very much consumer oriented. You know, they're by and large, you know, there are some really smart people there, but a lot of them are really clueless. So that is just now, if you look at EMI, you know, they've hired all of the guys from the internet business, you know, Doug Merrill and all the other guys. And maybe they'll come around, I don't know, but it's maybe too late for them.
I recently wrote something about EMI. They, I think in Ireland, they managed to make a deal with some ISPs that the ISPs would start using the free strike system.
Yes, yeah, and they're in trouble now. Everybody hates the ISP now for this reason.
But I wrote about that on Twitter, and not even a minute later, some public relations official from EMI contacted me, sending me some press release with some better news, I think, about Depeche Mode's iTunes.
Yeah, class. You know, they do that to me too. I really hate that, because in the end, you know, the EMI should not be suing anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really stupid. So I don't have much hope for them unless they really start being actually logical. Stop doing these things that, you know, they're doing a lot of good things, but at the same time, the continued lawsuits are ridiculous.
Completely different topic. What do you think are currently the most promising channels of promoting music on the internet for smaller artists?
Well, I think obviously the strategy is in general is for smaller artists to publish as much as they can in as many different places and with the right target group and to basically to generate attention. Because the biggest problem for the artist, you know, a lot of people are confusing this all the time, is the biggest problem is not the fact that they don't get paid. The biggest problem is that nobody pays any attention to them, right? So the payment comes after you get attention. So basically anything that gets your attention on the web, that's what you should be doing. So you find the right place depending on what kind of artist you are. You know, maybe if you're a visual artist and it's much more important what your performance is like, then there's more YouTube and other video channels, right? But I think for all of the artists, of course, you know, having a blog is mandatory, tweeting on Twitter and, you know, having a Facebook profile and all these things. But other than that, there's lots of great stuff there, like blip.fm, where you upload your music. I like Reverb Nation for the widgets. Yeah. I mean, there's hundreds of things. You just have to see what is the best fit. I don't think there's a real recipe, but basically whatever you think gets you the most attention, I think you should. Every artist should have the photos on Flickr and, of course, the videos on YouTube and Daily Motion and so on. These days, it's more like having the time to do it and finding, as an artist, a lot of artists are not really interested in spending much time on the business stuff, you know? So you have to find a way of how you can get somebody else to help you with this. I mean, I have the same problem, you know, I have to do writing and I have to do the sort of publishing, right? And that's not the same thing. So everybody has that problem. And I think it's a little bit like the internet and what we have now is not a magic wand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's giving us the responsibility back to us to actually do it or not. But I think, you know, once we have mobile devices like the iPhone and the Android that are very cheap, and when the network costs are lower, you know, every single person is going to have 100 different ways of using mobile media, especially music, on their device. So you just download an app that does whatever you want it to do, whether it plays videos or games or, you know, whatever it does, but will have lots of choices in terms of the app. So it won't be like on the web where there's like three or four major sites. There'll be hundreds.
In the end, there's just one new music channel popping up every day on the internet now. And I think for artists, they have to feel their own personality and see what fits best for personality. Even Seth Godin, this marketing guru, he says, you know, I don't use Twitter. Twitter's not for everyone. I'm not in that conversation, but I join some other conversations.
There's no hard rules here. I think you have to see what fits you. But in general, I think the general way of making it is essentially to publish. Mm-hmm. So whatever your content is, that's your marketing. If your content is good, then people run across you when you publish it a lot and they'll tell others, and sooner or later you have a following. And when you have a following, that's when you start monetizing. So you can't come from the other end. But, you know, basically when there's a flat rate in place, the following automatically translates to the click, which translates to the money. So the problem that we have now is you can have a following, but then all you have is a sale on iTunes, you know, or so if you're lucky, you know, and so that doesn't work. But if you have a following and then you have a flat rate, then basically the fact that you have a flat rate immediately connects people to your place where they can give you money.
Do you think it's still useful to think about music customers or buyers?
Well, sure. But, you know, I think basically the first thought should be you think of music as users or participants. You know, those are people that like you, that follow you in a way, you could say. But they're really users and then they become buyers. The first step now is to get them to use you, to click. And then the second step is to snag them further, right? Mm-hmm. Is to basically get them hooked. So I think there will be new physical products as well, like high definition recordings and things that will have, you know, 5 terabyte of data. So I think of music more like a software product. So I'm sure that before too long, you know, you'll have a pretty simple iPhone app, but you can download, you know, 1 terabyte fancy multimedia application from Robbie Williams that will have all kinds of games and multimedia and stuff, and you install it. And for having that, you know, you pay a premium. I think those things are all coming, so I wouldn't worry too much about whether it's physical or not. It makes no difference. You know, it's just a question of how you, in general, are able to sort of share the revenues that come in.
About the same topic, I read an article of yours dating a few years back. I think it was 2002. I'm not sure. In this article, you said something about people being able to put some more music on their MP3 player when they go to a coffee bar like Starbucks or similar places at some downloading stations for a small fee. I haven't seen this yet. I'm not sure if it's existing yet.
Well, the license hasn't been given for this, but basically there's two ways of doing it. Either you pay a fee because it's convenient and you have some sort of reason, like you go to the Starbucks and they offer you 50 songs for £5, and that seems like a good deal, and so you just do it. Or, you know, if you have a flat rate, then Starbucks does not have to sell the music because you already have the music, right? Mm-hmm. Starbucks sells a selection. So when you go to Starbucks, then they will say, okay, you can download from this point, and here is the Starbucks Best of Jazz, and it comes with a free cup of coffee, so you pay £1 for that. But you don't pay for the music because you already have the flat rate. The problem is with all of these models is as long as the license is not available, it makes no sense for people to build it because you don't get the license, right? So that's basically the part of the holdup is in the licensing part and the permission. When you think about all the cool stuff on the web, it's all illegal, basically.
And then we're all criminals in a way.
Well, basically, whatever we do on the web with music, you know, if it's really good, then it's basically illegal, right? I mean, there is nothing that's good that's actually illegal. And when it gets to be legal, then people have to take away things that were good, like Spotify, right? Yeah. So Spotify will change because the labels want certain rules that we don't like. Right, so for example, they will never allow you to record on the wireless device, which is something that we need. Right, we need to time shift it.
Right now, if a bar wants to play music, they have to pay performance licenses or fees. Yeah. Do you think this flat rate, since everyone will already be paying for this public license, do you think it would bring an end to this performance license?
No, not at all. I think it's just, you know, bars and restaurants are different spaces, you know. Mm-hmm. Music is there in the background, and that should be paid for in the same way that it is now, because it generates money for the composers, you know, being in the background. But if you are being performed on the internet, that's essentially much more like radio, or radio that you can keep, basically. So there, the revenues should be a little bit higher, of course, and there should be ways of sharing. But if you do the dynamics, you know, if you do the mathematics of this, you know, just €1 a week in Europe, you know, would basically do the entire music industry in terms of revenues, would be equal. I think this is really a political question. You know, do we want to give control to the user, or do we pretend that we still can prevent the user from doing this? And of course, now with all the mobile devices, it's going to get much worse because people aren't even downloading anymore. You know, they're just clicking and streaming.
Do you think that social networks like Facebook will accelerate the move towards flat rates for music?
Oh, totally, yes, of course. I mean, you know, all of the telecoms have to get involved with music now. Mm-hmm. If they don't do this, they have no business in the future because their voice calls and data is basically decreasing.
And the debate over net neutrality, how do you think it connects to the changing environments regarding music distribution?
Well, as I said earlier, I think, you know, there's people that would like to have control, and there's people who would like to use it as it is and for a more sort of level playing field, so that everybody can do what they want to do without people having sort of the authority to decide what you're allowed to do. You know, I think it's very important that, you know, ultimately money is being generated in the system. But as long as you're sitting there and basically telling people that you want to control how much they pay, what they do with what they received, and maybe take it back from them, then it's just not a very good deal for the consumer. So net neutrality is crucial, of course, you know, and the way to reduce the costs for the network is not to make people use it less, but to have a technical approach that makes it easier, and that would be peer-to-peer, right? So I think a legalization of all these issues would do a lot more than a criminalization, which leads to basically sort of the market being squashed.
Then I have a final question. I think I found out about you on Twitter. So how about Twitter? Do you think Twitter is changing the music industry?
Well, I don't know what can change the music industry. I think this is just a question of enough public pressure to change the ways that it was done and to switch to the new way of how things are done. I think that's how we can change the industry. As long as people are participating in the old way, like the artists and the users, you know, then we basically can't change it, because this is a question of who gets to say what happens. I think Twitter is a great tool for spreading opinion and for communicating with lots of people in different directions. And it's sort of like SMS to me, that I've always wished I can SMS 1,000 people, just give a quick update. You know, and I use it for that. I use it much more for knowledge than for status updates. I think Twitter will be absolutely huge. I would estimate by the end of the year, we'll probably have 50 million users. And so in a way, that's, you know, if you look at Google, Facebook, Twitter, they're all moving in the same direction. They're becoming more like public infrastructure. And, you know, of course, musicians and artists have to use public infrastructure, and they are using it, but they're not using it quite well enough yet. I think for a lot of artists, just now they're starting to realize what it means to actually be part of this.
At the same time, Facebook and also Twitter, they're starting to open up a bit about the statistics that can offer really valuable insights to any business.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And I think when you work with Twitter or Facebook or Google or MySpace or whatever, it's not just about getting money from them, but you want the data. You know, as an artist, you want the click-throughs, you want the data, you want the tracking of what happens to your music, and you want them to give you some guaranteed way of having market access. That's the deal. You know, the deal shouldn't be like, you know, YouTube pays 1 cent per stream. The deal should also be YouTube gives you a platform for marketing, and YouTube gives you data, right? So people are very, very short fused on the idea of, you know, they should pay us a lot of money because it's Google, but that's really not what matters, you know. I think that, you know, as far as the future of music is concerned, I think we're looking at the, you know, with the end of the period where physical products were the most important thing, and where because of that we had a monopoly of a few companies and cartels. And now we're moving to what I call a sort of social platform, you know, a social business. And that's a very hard shift for the existing companies, because they never learned how to do that, you know, how to have conversations or how to give a shit about anyone else in the business, basically. And that is the underlying shift, is that they don't want us to have a say about release schedules or rating or tagging or any of that stuff, while the film guys and television guys and the journalists, they already understand this.
It took them a while also, I know.
It did, but you know, they're much closer to the reality than the music guys, which are by and large still thinking that if they can control, like, you know, they own half of MySpace music now, right? They think if they have control, they can get more money from us. But of course, currently, you know, it's quite clear that that's not the case.
Well, I think if they really want control, then they should offer it for free themselves, instead of other people spreading it through networks that they cannot observe, like the Pirate Bay or torrent networks.
Well, it would be so easy to license them all, you know, if you were willing to say, okay, we're going to make a deal, it's a revenue share, and we're going to put the cards on the table with you, and you do it with us, and then we figure out together how it can go forward. That's exactly what happened in radio. A radio guy said, we want your music. The music guy says, yes, you can use it. And then, you know, every few years, you renegotiate. And you look at the facts and you see if everybody's happy with the deal. So it's not that hard, except for that the industry has never come around to actually do that. So it's a real problem for the user. It makes the users criminal. It makes the internet companies criminal. And it makes the telcos to be like conspiracy participants, you know?
Thanks a lot for the interview.
Okay, keep me posted.
I will.
All right, take care.